There are passages of Scripture that we love to hear again and again. And then there are others that we could live without. Maybe those in the common lectionary assigned to us today are in that latter category. Over the years, I've heard a range of emotions and reactions to those stories we are told. Some might join with aged Sarah as she finds the news of her impending pregnancy laughable, or maybe worthy of a few tears. While Jesus seemingly takes Mary's side, Martha garners the sympathy of any who have felt overburdened by kitchen chores. My mother had this curious old wives' tale saying, if you wash the sugar bowl, it means a company's coming. A just washed sugar bowl cannot be refilled until it's completely dry. Otherwise, the sugar will cake on the sides. Should an unexpected guest arrive, the host would fall short of offering proper hospitality, of placing a sugar bowl and a creamer in front of the guest that wants a cup of coffee or tea. Nobody ever showed up when we had a damp sugar bowl, but the adage was repeated often. Most sermons on these texts would put such an onus on us. We're to be the gracious ones, ready and willing to welcome an unexpected visitor. However, maybe we need to turn this encounter around. Who is it that has come to us? And why? Have they come to inspect or to judge us? Do we need to be so worried about not meeting expectations? What have we missed? Who have we missed? What might we miss? In both settings, in a tent in Mamre and a house in Bethany, guests arrive and they bring good news and a word of hope and of peace not to be missed. I think that today's word is for any of us who have felt conflicted or torn, who have maybe been overwhelmed by meeting demands on any given day. It is for the person who wonders how to balance competing expectations and obligations. It is for the one who wants to be a good parent and a good employee and fears sometimes they're failing at both. It is a word for any who has felt angst about caring for an elderly parent or an ailing spouse, and the boss wonders why they are missing so much at work. Is there any of us who wishes that we could be more than one place at a time or juggle without ever dropping a ball? This word is for you. It's for all of us. Martha's all in a dither, and Jesus comes to her, tells her to just come, sit at my feet. A great fuss is being made to honor those who arrive unannounced at Sarah and Abraham's tent. We're given all the details of foot washing and bread baking and roasting the fatted calf. And then as if said, wafting from a distance by those bidding farewell, we'll be back next year. We'll be back to see your baby son. The old man must have scratched his feeble ears. And Sarah, she hears, Nonsense. Nonsense, thinks the old lady. Nonsense. My mother's saying about the sticky sugar bowl seems like a vestige of another day. I don't remember the last time I took out a sugar bowl. I have an empty one in my cupboard, and I put it away when the sugar began to turn into a hard rock every time I filled it. Folks just don't stop in anymore, and neither do I. My husband's grandfather spent countless hours sitting on his front porch. Not much got by his notice. He lived right across from the Lime Country store and had editorial comment to offer on everyone who was coming and going. And he loved it. Loved it when someone came up on the porch and took a chair beside him. That too is a thing of the past. Robert Putnam is a professor at Harvard, best known for his work Bowling Alone. He is now behind a film that has been widely shown, Join or Die. The documentary focuses on the health of a society where people belong to a faith community or a club or fraternal organization. Such involvement not only fosters individual well-being, claims Putnam and his cohorts, but also is beneficial to society as a whole. In a time when there's such deep division over politics, relationships formed in these organizations can bridge the divide. That person whose views anger you, he's your lodge brother. She is the sister in Christ who sits beside you in a pew, a member of the Rotary that works tirelessly on projects. Putnam contends that apart from these critical bonds of friendship and neighborliness, a country becomes vulnerable to demise. When I watched the film Join or Die, it was a gathering sponsored by a coffee shop in my community. And this helped cultivate an audience that included a younger cohort, a younger demographic than is seen in most of the venerable organizations featured in the film. They opened the film showing an Oddfellows meeting, and I ended up being the one person who could identify what that was and its name. So that's a reality of age, I think. But of the younger cohort present, They all agreed that belonging, being in relationship, is a good and healthy and beneficial thing for all. But that being said, the nearby Masonic Lodge and the Lions Club have yet to see an uptick in their membership. It seems those who watch the film went away bemoaning their lack of time. They said they're just too busy to go and join anything, even though it did sound like a very good idea. Here's the thing about Scripture. It's about meeting us where we are. It's about these visitors. Some call them angels, who appear out of nowhere at a nomad's tent. Jesus, he just shows up. Busy, crazy busy, cooking, doing what they think is important. Time to sit and visit? Not happening. Jesus finds himself in the unenviable position between two squabbling sisters. Martha fumes out of the kitchen, wanting him to take her side, and the only invitation to her is for her to take his side, to sit at his feet and find a moment of calm and of peace. One of the things I love about the Gospels is that we are more often than not left hanging. What happens next? It's left for us to fill in the blanks. We get to finish the story. How did Martha receive Jesus' response to her? Did she settle down and sit at his feet, or did she storm back into the kitchen in a snit? My ideal ending has Martha sit with Jesus and Mary, enjoy a nice conversation. In that time, women were not invited to sit and learn from a rabbi. That convention is broken, so then I have Jesus go with the women, and the three of them finish the kitchen chores. My contention is not the stuff of high-minded biblical scholarship, but I like how it sounds. Guests arrive. Arrive at that story tent with a message to convey. And Sarah has to listen from the edges. Sarah, the one who has a major role to play in the fulfillment of a divine promise, and yet she is not allowed into the conversation. In contrast, Mary takes a choice place. The best choice for Martha, too. They are worthy of the moment. This word is for any who has felt less of themselves because they couldn't do it all. It's a gift of grace, God's grace, to anyone who needs to forgive and accept and love. It's not about what you can do or can't do, but who you are. It's an offering of kindness to those beaten up inside or bruised. Come sit at the feet of the one who will meet you where you are. Sarah. She just laughs, though she denies it. It's funny to think of this old couple that had long ago stopped believing or hoping that they would ever realize God's promise. The name they give their baby, Isaac. Isaac means laughter. May God delight us with such guests and truly good company, not to be missed. Amen.